This is Andrew Schultz. I'm the sales manager for CHS Ag Services. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Thursday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Kara Hart. We'll also hear a report from Sierra Doctor. USDA is allowing additional flexibility for landowners in the final year of their Conservation Reserve Program contract. Farm Service Agency Administrator Zach Ducheneau said a request must be made in writing through the local Farm Service Agency office.
You always have the option of going in and doing some field prep and get things ready, but typically we do a prorated reduction in your payment. We're going to allow producers to voluntarily terminate their CRP contract to begin that field preparation with no penalty after the primary nesting season.
The primary nesting season ends August 1st in Minnesota, North Dakota, and South Dakota. 4 million CRP acres are scheduled to expire this year. North Dakota and South Dakota are ranked 5th and 6th, respectively, for enrollment in CRP.
So we're trying to help our producers understand that there are some flexibilities there, and we want to continue to put them in a position to take advantage of the crop prices that we've got right now and try to realize some of the benefits while helping out with the global food supply.
In an interview with the Red River Farm Network, Ducheneau said the agency is starting to mail applications for the new emergency relief program. With the streamlined process, the FSA administrator expects payments to go out next month. Agricultural groups are digesting the news from USDA on the Conservation Reserve Program. North Dakota Grain Growers Association Executive Director Dan Wogsland acknowledges there are concerns about global food shortages.
I'm sure that was USDA's mindset when they did this. And so it's something that I think we've certainly got to take a look at. We've talked about getting CRP and allowing farmers to use CRP. Now, if you're going to use it, past the nesting season, I don't know that a crop can be grown in the state of North Dakota at that point in time. So I think we've got to really take a hard look at this and see what it means. Certainly, we want to make sure that there aren't global food shortages.
North Dakota Senator John Hovind, along with Minnesota Senator Amy Klobuchar and others from Minnesota and North Dakota, have sent a letter to Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack asking him to provide support and certainty to farmers dealing with the excessive moisture. The lawmakers want Vilsack to offset any loss in the crop insurance guarantee to producers unable to get into the field until the final planting date. In the letters, lawmakers stress that they want USDA to incentivize getting a crop planted. Senator Hovind followed up with Secretary Vilsack on that letter in this morning's Senate Agriculture Committee hearing.
Proposal to you is through CCC or one of our programs to actually offer to cover some of that discount so that they'll actually go ahead and try to get those crops in the ground even though they're going past that crop insurance end date. And so I think it's something to look at because it would actually save the USDA money, save the government money. From the standpoint of you're not paying out more prevented plant, you're paying out less by covering that discount, and at the same time you get more crops in the ground to help with food inflation. It's something you'd need to move on pretty quick if you're going to do something to help there, because obviously they're getting those crops in the ground now and they have to make those decisions.
Vilsack has not had a chance to review the letter.
I'm happy to talk to our team about it. I think part of the challenge that we face whenever we get into this particular area is making sure that we don't compromise the relationship between the insurers and the producers in terms of the overall crop insurance program, that we don't essentially create a circumstance where the risk is difficult for the crop insurance folks to be able to calculate. But I'm happy to take a look at what you all have written. And, exhibited in the past, we're more than happy to try to provide help and assistance where it makes sense.
Yesterday was the final planting date for corn for much of North Dakota, South Dakota, and northern Minnesota. Red River Farm Network Sierra Doctor has more.
Bresky Crop Insurance agent Caitlin Davis says with the corn insurance date passed, farmers have the option for prevent plant.
Everybody would love to get a crop in the ground, but sometimes Mother Nature has a different plan for us, which is, it can be very frustrating at times. So it really depends on what their plan is. I think prevent plant is going to be a lot on people's mind, especially for corn. We just passed that May 25th date for a lot of North Dakota and South Dakota. They can turn in a prevent plant claim, or they can choose to actually plant into the late plant period for up to 25 days. This might be the one year I would probably consider planting into that late plant period if it's feasible to them, just because of where the market prices are.
High input costs have put farmers between a rock and a hard place when it comes to deciding to take prevent plant or continue with their seeding plan. Davis says a lot of farmers she's spoken with are dismissing prevent plant.
I have most of my producers are actually still doing everything they can even today to get some corn in the ground. Some of them that had even forward contracted some grain, obviously they need to get something in the ground. I think as long as we're going to continue to see some drier weather here a few days ahead, hopefully we can see some more acres get put in for especially corn. With beans being kind of towards that middle of June, that June 10th date, I think that we're going to see quite a few bean acres get in here. I've had a lot of my producers, I've run break-evens with them to see if prevent plant makes sense for their operation or if it would make more sense for them to switch to a different crop such as beans instead of taking that preventive payment.
Reporting Agriculture's Business, I'm Sierra Doctor for the Red River Farm Network.
Thanks, Sierra. Based in Mackville, North Dakota, Irie Insurance agent Reed Irie says a few of the farmers he works with plan to continue planting corn until the weekend rains.
After the next rain event, then they'll be just stopped with the corn and either try to get some wheat or barley on something that's been fertilized for corn and or soybeans. If it hasn't been fertilized, then just go around the pothole, see where they go from there. I've got a couple of guys just in the last yesterday. They called or texted me and says this half section is going to be PP. Nothing's going to get planted. It's just all sopping wet. It was intended for corn, and that's what it's going to be as PP corn. Otherwise, we'll just have a lot of acreages that are. They're just going to have to go around and get planted what they can.
Irie says farmers are starting to plant the crops, but it is nip and tuck. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network.
BASF Tech Service Rep Dan Mellis is with us.
Farm news on the Red River Farm Network. There are mostly dry conditions across the northern plains today, with a few exceptions of some rain that went through earlier. But the dry conditions mean farmers should be able to get some field work done. High temperatures will reach into the 70s and 80s today and also tomorrow. Rain and thunderstorms are in the forecast tomorrow through next Tuesday across the region, with total moisture ranging from 3/4 of an inch of rain to 2.5 or up to 3 inches possible. That's expected to bring a temporary stop to planting. North Dakota farmers are racing the rain to get canola planted near New England. John Wirt says it's slow going.
We're really up against the deadline here. It's the end of the month of May, so not too many days left. And I think we would finish in time, except for the fact that there's rain in the forecast pretty much all weekend into Monday, I guess. So that's going to shut us down. Probably be a little bit short of getting our goal. I guess we'll have to switch those acres to wheat. And there's a lot of acres to go in this area, but friends up north are just getting started, and they've got a long road to go.
Further north near Carpio, Pat Murphy started planting canola Monday. While it is later in the planting season, Murphy plans to get all of that into the ground.
We're out in the field today, and tonight we'll have a little over a third of our canola planted, and we planted a little bit of wheat, so we're kind of picking and choosing field mainly on how wet they are and just plugging away where we can, I guess. We want to seed our own farm if at all possible. It's no fun when you don't. There's a lot of expense with that. The other thing, too, the commodity prices are awful good, so we're going to take a chance and get her planted. And everybody around us is going crazy, too.
The grain market's trading mostly higher here today. Midwest Market Solutions President Brian Hoops says the Minneapolis spring wheat contract is trying to incentivize planting.
You get to June 5, and after that, it's very hard to grow a very good spring wheat crop. And so we're struggling. Northern Minnesota, northern South Dakota, almost all of North Dakota. There's a small window this week where maybe there's some planting being done. But after that, it looks like it's wet again, and this is going to be kind of the window of opportunity this week to get anything seeded. So upside potential should be led by Minneapolis putting in some premium again because of smaller acres and probably a smaller crop this year. I'd also expect Kansas City to lead Chicago back to the upside.
Hoop says soybeans also had good export sales today.
On the surface, they may not look like, you know, just an outstanding number or anything at 9 million bushels for old crop. However, we've already met the USDA forecast for this year, so any sales that we make are just on top of already the USDA forecast with 3 months to go in the marketing year. It means
the market may be buying corn and wheat acres, but the planting window is tightening. GK Technology agronomist Sarah Lovis says that forecast is not helping.
Going way into next week, it looks like we've got, you know, 30-40% chances of rain. And if that holds true and we get to the middle of end of next week, and then, you know, and wherever that, just because the rain shuts off doesn't mean that gets us past the time of drying out these fields either. So once we get to a place where the fields can be workable again, I don't know if that just might get to be a place where it's just too late and guys might want to pull the plug.
Levis says late-seeded small grains are also vulnerable to disease. Speaking of small grains, South Dakota Wheat Commission Executive Director Reed Christofferson says wheat acres in South Dakota are in a losing battle.
Acreage still remains reduced. Certainly, if we were to look back over the last decade, we've lost approximately half of the wheat acres in South Dakota, both for winter and spring, as we see kind of some changing climatic cycles and more and more of a transition to some more traditional row crops.
Farmers are shifting to plant other crops if spring wheat is not planted by now.
On the spring wheat side, again, it's a very variable depending upon where in central South Dakota. Spring wheat seeding went relatively on schedule. It's for the most part completed at this time. There's still be some small amounts that will still be seeded, but we've passed our insurance date, and so farmers are starting to kind of transfer over into other crops.
The Minnesota Board of Animal Health is extending the poultry event and exhibition ban until Friday, July 1st. This temporary ban is meant to protect mainly backyard flock owners from the spread of a potential pathway for highly pathogenic avian influenza. Cases are declining, but there are a small number of detections in new counties that prompted this extension. Reporting Agriculture's Business, this is the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Soils are in less than ideal conditions, but planters are rolling. As temperatures warm, BASF Technical Service Representative Ken Dibert expects to see a lot of weed pressure.
We know we've got the weed seed bank. I'm already seeing, obviously, lamb's quarters, kochia, and water hemp. You know, water hemp seems like every year. We always say, well, I can't believe water hemp's coming up already, but it seems like it's emerging earlier and earlier. And even in this year when we've had these relatively very cool temps across the board, we're seeing a lot of water hemp emerging already too, or the pigweed species in general.
With the rush to plant a crop, there may be a tendency to skip pre-emergence weed control.
I would certainly encourage pre's wherever possible. I know that may not be possible in all these scenarios, especially in these very wet fields where, you know, we're barely getting in to plant them, right? But I know those weeds are going to be coming early. I would encourage the use of pre's and dry beans. Normally what we would do is recommend yellows. One of our own, Prowl H2O, gets used in those scenarios. Perhaps some Sonalan on many of these acres as well. So there's a couple different yellow options that they would use up front as a pre.
Layering residuals is recommended to carry weed control through the rest of the season. The Senate Agriculture Committee's second Farm Bill field hearing will be held on Friday, June 17th at Arkansas State University. That hearing is going to be live streamed online on the Senate Agriculture Committee's website. Taking a look at the markets, July Minneapolis wheat up 13 at 12.93 and a half. July Chicago wheat down a quarter at 11.48. July corn down 6 3/4 at 7.65 and a half. December corn down 4 1/4 at 7.19. July beans up 47 at 17.18. Rather, 17.28. November beans up 31 1/4 at 15.44. June live cattle up 20 cents at 132.50. August live cattle up 10 cents. May feeder cattle down 2 cents at 154.57. August down $1.27. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. This is the Red River Farm Network.